You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, Brain, that was much more like it, wasn't it?
Been a while since they had a game like that.
I mean, the Dolphins just decided that they were going to go to our nation's capital and open up a can of you-know-what all over the Washington Commanders. A 45-15 victory on the road, their second highest point total of the season, and I think, Brain, without question, if not the best game of the season all around, it's in the top two.
Yeah. I mean, hard to beat 70-20. In my opinion, you could say it's the most complete game because you could nitpick on that Denver game and you could say, well, the defense, it stretches early in the game, didn't look so dominant, and they gave up the special teams touchdown. And you can nitpick that game, but you won that game by 50 points. So I'm not going to sit here and say that this game was more complete, but it was right there with it. It's certainly the best this team has played since that game. And that game was all the way back in week three. So it's not like this team has been, look, the record is nice. It's where you want it to be at this point. And it's a nice time in December to start playing your best football again. It's a nice starting point for going down the stretch of the season.
And I'd actually argue that this was a better defensive performance than that game against Denver was, frankly. This was truly an excellent performance by the Miami Dolphins, exactly what the doctor ordered. And we're going to talk about it here today on the Same Old Dolphin Show. So we want to thank you very much for listening. Before we go any further, a reminder to you, if you are not doing so already, to make sure that you are following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I'm Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. Again, I will extend an invitation to Blue Sky, where you can also find me at Amplified to Rock and the show at Same Old Dolphins. If you need an invite code, holler at me and I'll get you one, and you can get over to Blue Sky and get you over there in that environment. A reminder to you to take a moment right now. Stop what you're doing. Hit the like button. If you're watching this on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, just that little thumbs up right there underneath the screen. Just go ahead and click that button. Thank you very much for doing that. We appreciate it very much. Subscribe to the channel and turn on notifications so you're notified every time we go live, just like right now as we're going live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel and the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. We're live a little bit later than normal because we waited to see Tua's stint on the Manning cast. Tua was a special guest with Peyton and Eli during the Monday Night Football game. So, we'll talk a little bit about Tua's appearance. It was mostly not terribly newsworthy, but a couple of good moments that we'll talk about here. Maybe we'll end the show talking about that. Also make sure you subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a positive review. We appreciate it very much. And yeah, let's get into it. Oh, DolphinsTalk.com. How can I possibly forget? Go to DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. Brain, let's get into it. Dolphins 45, Commanders 15. First of all, we cannot possibly discuss this game without mentioning the fact that your boy predicted the Dolphins would win this game by a score of 45-13. So I was off on Washington's total by 2 points, But otherwise, I did a pretty good job. I kind of nailed this one. So good job, me. Way to go. Let's hear it for me. Yes. Woo! All right. Way to go, Josh. Way to go. But now, seriously, let's get into this game. Brain, I think if there's one place that you're going to start in this game, where I want to start is on the defensive side of the ball. I feel it's easy to start on the offensive side of the ball. I want to start on the defensive side of the ball because this is where the questions were coming in. How was this team going to perform without Jalen Phillips? How was this team going to perform without Javon Holland? How was this team going to perform when it lost Jerome Baker early in the second quarter? And the answer was pretty good. They performed pretty well. They got beat on a couple of plays, but I mean, for the most part, Washington sort of operates. That offense sort of operates off script when things start breaking down, because that's how Sam Howell operates. He gets outside of the pocket. He's on the run. He likes to throw on the run, and he loves finding his running backs out of the backfield when he's on the run. And that's where they got a lot of their big chunk plays in this game. But, you know, so aside from a couple of big plays like that, Howell had a pretty fantastic individual moment on the second touchdown, where he just sort of scampered all over the field for that 13-yard touchdown. And then he had the sneak, on the first touchdown. But I mean, this was largely another very dominant performance by the Miami Dolphins defense. And I think you've got to be very encouraged by a certain number 43, Andrew Van Ginkel, who filled in incredibly well for Jalen Phillips, put a pick six on the board. I mean, this defense is on all sides. I mean, then you got when Jerome Baker went out, I thought Duke Riley came in, and I thought Duke Riley did a pretty good job as well. So, Brain, this was a pretty good performance from a defense that, you know, was missing a couple of pieces and didn't miss a beat, which is pretty encouraging.
I thought it was a dominant performance, honestly, and it was what you wanted. When you go into a game where you know you're going to be without some starters, well, you know you're going to be without Javon Holland, you look at, all right, well, how are guys going to step up? You know you're going to be without Jalen Phillip. How are you going to replace these guys? Well, with Javon Holland, you say, well, we're going to probably need a little bit more out of Xavien Howard and Jalen Ramsey, because we can't really expect Deshaun Elliott or Brandon Jones to be deep center field. Like, we're probably going to need those guys to man up a little bit. And Kader Kohou in the slot, and all those guys to a man did it. Also, Jalen Phillips out. Obviously, Andrew Van Ginkel's got to step up, but also still going back to Javon Holland being out. What's one way to help your secondary when your secondary's missing a guy? Get pressure on the quarterback. Defensive line dominated this game. And really, I mean, they all played well, but Zach Sealer was an animal in this game, especially in the first half, but was just wreaking havoc in the middle of that defensive line, getting penetration to get after the quarterback, getting penetration to stop runs in their tracks. I think the Dolphins defense as a whole had a great game. The Redskins put some runs on them. They had some nice runs where they got to the edge. And I think if we're being honest, that is probably the one area when you talk about where this team is going to have a drop off with Jalen Phillips out. It's not rushing the passer. Because Andrew Van Ginkel can rush the passer. The thing is, he's not as complete an edge defender as Jalen Phillips, because he's not always going to secure that edge. And so that might happen from time to time, and that's something to keep an eye on. But giving up a couple of big runs on the edge, by and large, meaningless, because they were so dominant against the pass. And you're going to get Javon Holland back, and the defense is going to be even better against the pass. And frankly, obviously we want Jerome Baker to get better, and that makes this defense better as a whole. But if you're going to be relying on Duke Riley to step in in place of Jerome Baker, I'm not necessarily worried about the pass defense in that exchange, because I think Duke Riley is probably better in coverage than Jerome Baker is. I worry a little bit about run fits, but I thought Duke Riley had a great game once he stepped in for Jerome Baker, and I feel a lot better about things having seen that. And then obviously getting the news today that Jerome Baker is going to be week to week. It's an MCL sprain, and we'll see how much time. It looks like, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks. We don't know, but it's not season ending. That's huge. And you're going to get Javon Holland back. The defense continues to roll. It's been an elite defense now for what, 8 games? It's something like 7 of the last 8 games or 6 of the last 7 games that this team has given up less than 300 yards of offense. And the only game, the only outlier there was the Philadelphia game. And you're a few fourth and ones away from that being a game where you, where your defense largely dominated. So this defense continues to get better. It is a strength. And now the offense is starting to kick back into gear the last 2 weeks. And I know you want to talk about the offense, so I don't want to go out on too much of a rant, but this was everything that you wanted to see from the Dolphins offense, albeit against an inferior opponent. So now you've got another 2 games coming up against an inferior opponent. Do it again, and then do it again, and build those habits so that when you get to those games against Dallas and Baltimore and Buffalo, you know that you can do it. It is important for this team to build the habits now against these inferior opponents. That was what you want to see.
Yes, you got to build those habits. You got to play clean and smart football. We're going to pivot to that offense discussion in a second, but just following up on the Baker injury, we learned on Monday that his ACL is intact. The injury is to his MCL. It sounds like an MCL sprain type thing. It's a week-to-week injury. It's usually a 3 to 4 week window that we're looking at here. So it is, the Dolphins have avoided the worst case scenario. They're going to have Baker back, perhaps it by the, you know, the end, before the end of the regular season, which is really good news because it looked terrible for the Dolphins when he went down. There is some other related news to that, which today, and as it was pointed out here by New Finland, the Dolphins did work out Reuben Foster. That's the second time in the last couple of years that the Dolphins have worked out Reuben Foster. He was a former first round draft pick of the San Francisco 49ers. He's a guy that's had some problems off the field, but certainly is a very bright talent. And that's somebody that might add a little bit of depth to that linebacker room for the Miami Dolphins as they deal with the Baker injury. They worked him out. We don't know anything more than that at this point in time, but it's something to keep an eye on as well. So, a great performance by the Dolphins defense. We'll tie a bow on it. Let's pivot over to the offense, Brain, because I thought this was a tremendous game from the offense again. And on top of the fact that they performed well, they put up huge numbers, 5 offensive touchdowns in this game, which is terrific to put up that kind of production. Having Achan back and having him get involved in his explosiveness looking good. Tua to Tyreek and that connection just being on fire. Tua was absolutely feeling it in this game. And you can tell when Tua is really feeling it in a game because of how he moves in the pocket. And you saw him operating in the pocket with his footwork. Just, it was clicking on all cylinders today. And you saw Tua looked today the same way he looked in that game against the Chargers earlier in the season. I mean, you just saw it. He was just electric, and he was feeling himself big time in this game. And so it was a great performance from Tua as well. Just an explosive performance by the offense. But I think for me, Brain, what was probably the biggest and most encouraging thing was just how clean this game was. Very few penalties. I'm looking up the numbers now as to what the official number was at the end of the game for the team, but it was not very many. Where are you? I've got it right here. Penalties.
Two for 15.
Dolphins, 2 for 15 yards. That is huge. We didn't see the issues with clock management. We didn't see any of that stuff. And as I always say, as I've said all along, when the Dolphins have a third down and one, the correct play is to throw a 78-yard touchdown pass on a bomb to Tyreek Hill. I always say that. Brain, I've always said that, haven't I? It's the right thing to do on third and one, throw a 78-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, you don't even need a running back in the backfield. Just go empty set.
No, yeah, you know, don't even pretend. Just throw a bomb down the field because it works every time. This was awesome. It was awesome.
It was cool, and it was, you know, just a reminder that you've got to take the good with the bad with Mike McDaniel, because for every play call that he has that makes you want to pull your hair out and say, well, what was he thinking? There's a play like this, and you're just like, oh, okay, that's what he was thinking. And look, this is the best offense that the Dolphins have had since Dan Marino. So the guy knows what he's doing. I still think that the team needs to lean into third and short being able to run the ball. But I feel like what they did in the second half of this football game, particularly in the fourth quarter of this football game, in running the ball down Washington's throat to seal the game, I need to see more of that. And I'm seeing them grow in confidence. I think having your full complement of offensive linemen certainly is going to help that. I think having your full complement of running backs is certainly going to help that. But ultimately, I think it's a mindset thing. And I think the shorter it takes the Dolphins to get into the mindset that we cannot just beat you with our speed, but we can also play smash mouth football, the sooner this team will be able to really play big boy football with the legit contenders. And whether you believe that the Dolphins are a legit contender right now or not, frankly, it doesn't matter until you get to the point in time where it does matter, which is right around the corner. So we need to get there so that when we play those teams, we can beat them and we can shut up all the doubters. I think it starts with building those habits now against teams like Washington, against teams like Tennessee, and really even the Jets, even though the Jets are physical and they're tough to run against. You know, this team needs to feel like they can get, when they line up on a third and one, they can run it and they can get it. Because you know what? I'll tell you two teams that feel like when they've got a third and one or a fourth and one, they can run and they'll get it. It's the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. And granted, you don't got to beat those teams to get to the Super Bowl. But in all likelihood,
not to get to the Super Bowl, but getting to the Super Bowl isn't the goal.
Right. But in all likelihood, if you want to get that Lombardi trophy, you're going to have to beat one of them.
Right.
So I think that's the next element. It's the one missing element of this team that I want to see them do with a little bit more consistency and confidence. I think they played beautifully in this football game.
Absolutely.
And you just want to see it continue because you're not going to play Washington every week.
No.
So,
but you were able. It's an encouraging thing to see the Dolphins impose their will on a team, and they did that in this game. I mean, look, you had a game, you had a drive in Basura time, deep in Basura time, and the Dolphins ran a 14 play touchdown drive where they ran it 13 times. You know, and it was all Devon Achane basically, with a little bit of Jeff Wilson mixed in, and then eventually you run it into the end zone. And again, granted, you're up against the Washington Commanders, which is not the toughest team in the game, in the league, but you imposed your will. You said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to run the ball straight down the field and we're going to score a touchdown. You're not going to stop us. And that's what you need to do. And so being able to do that is going to be something that is going to come in handy down the stretch, even when the opposition gets much tougher. But Brain, again, let's talk about the offense. Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill, we've talked about. I mean, first of all, Tyreek Hill, what five catches, 150 something yards again in this game. I mean, his official number was five receptions, 157 yards. He needs to average about 104 yards per game to break 2,000 yards by the end of the season. He needs to average about 130 something yards per game to break 2,000 yards in game 16. It's feasible, it's doable, but this guy is a game changer unlike anybody that the Dolphins have ever had in the history of the franchise.
I mean, he might be the biggest game changer at the wide receiver position that there has ever been, realistically. Because Randy Moss was obviously, you know, a different animal when he came out, and Jerry Rice did everything. But Tyreek's ability, like, he's doing things on the field with his speed, contact balance, quickness, agility that I don't think we've ever seen a wide receiver do. I mean, Megatron obviously was a game changer as well, but Tyreek is running every single route. He's getting yards after catch. He's breaking tackles. He's outrunning guys. He's running like miles in a game because of all the motion that he's doing as well. Everything that he's doing pre-snap. This guy is the MVP of the league right now. That, in my opinion, you'll hear a lot of people say, well, it's a quarterback award. It's an award that's given to the quarterbacks. And that is true almost every year. But then sometimes you get a year where, you know, the quarterbacks are playing really well, but there's no like really amazing standout performer at quarterback. The only real amazing standout player on offense in this league right now is Tyreek Hill. And that's not to take away from Jalen Hurts or the season that Dak Prescott's having or even the season that Tua's having. But the Dolphins are the best offense in the league right now, and it all runs through Tyreek Hill. And let there be no mistake about it. Like, Tyreek Hill definitely benefits from Tua, and Tua definitely benefits from Tyreek Hill. But this offense isn't the best offense in the league without Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But that's also not to sell Tua Tagovailoa short, because Tua Tagovailoa is himself having a tremendous season. He is already just one. Oh, I got the live Monday Night Football game on here, and the Cincinnati Bengals have just taken a third quarter lead over the Jacksonville Jaguars. If the Bengals were to win that game, the Dolphins would head into week 14 as the one seed and would control their destiny as the one seed. Spoiler alert for anybody if you're listening to this podcast on a Monday in podcast form, I'm sorry if I spoiled the game for you. Anyway, but Tua needs 2 yards and 2 touchdown passes in week 14 to surpass his career highs in passing yardage and passing touchdowns. So he's having a great year. First and foremost, he's played every game. He's played the entirety of every game except for getting pulled, you know, at the end of the game when he just didn't need to be out there. So it's been a great season for him in that regard. Knock on wood, knock, knock, knock. But the thing that I said coming into this game was going to be something to keep an eye out on was the fact that in December and January road games, Tua has had a significant drop off playing on the road in December and January. And I mentioned these stats on the post game wrap up show that I did with Mike for Dolphins Talk on Sunday. But in the 7 games that Tua has played on the road in December and January prior to this game against Washington, he was 2 of 5 for 336 for about 61%. For 1,532 yards, 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and a 79.3 passer rating. I'm sorry, it was 9 games, combined record of 2 wins and 7 losses. The 2 wins being the game against Las Vegas where he was pulled and Ryan Fitzpatrick had the miracle in Vegas that where his helmet was twisted all around. And the other one was a Monday Night Football win over a COVID-wrecked New Orleans Saints being led by Ian Book at quarterback. But then Tua went out in this game and he went 18 of 24 for 282 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 141.4 1.0 passer rating in a dominant win. This was a statement game. Now, Tua's only going to play one more regular season game in December on the road, but he may not have to play any road games the rest of the season. He's got one more road game guaranteed this season, and we're going to want to see him step up as well to quiet those. That it's not really a narrative, it's facts that he hasn't played as well on the road in December historically in his NFL career. But this performance got to make you feel good, because he was there and he was cooking on Sunday.
This was the most complete game that Tua has played, you know, since that game against, and I don't even remember, because that game against Denver was more about the running game than it was about the passing game, if I remember correctly. So, but this was just a really clean game. I think Tua was feeling it. He was quick. He was decisive. He was moving well in the pocket. He was on target. You know, this is how you want Tua to play. But again, you know, opponent, like Tua, it's not going to come this easy. And you're not going to see Tua with a near perfect passer rating, you know, in the games that matter, in the playoffs against really good defenses, or in, you know, in Baltimore going down the stretch. That's not going to happen. But the most important thing is you didn't get that play. You didn't get the Tua, you know, just kind of chucking it up there or misreading something and firing a ball that was easily intercepted. I feel like you almost kind of got that play on that three and out. I think it was in the first half when we were up 10-0, where he had kind of like a screen pass after he kind of rolled out and kind of dumped it off, and it was a little bit dangerous. So you kind of almost had it, but you didn't, at the end of the day, it was a clean sheet for him. And that's what you need with Tua.
Yes.
This offense is going to put up explosive plays. We know it. It's just whether it comes in the running game, the passing game, whether it comes on a bomb, whether it's run after catch, this offense has too much talent, too much speed, not to have a couple of explosive plays every single game. And yes, all you've got to do is not beat yourself. If the way this defense is playing right now, if the offense is doing that and the defense is playing at a high level, the way that you're going to lose is by losing the turnover battle. And that has been the bugaboo for this team all season. And that will remain to me, that will remain the focus and probably the deciding factor on whether or not this team can be the number one seed in the AFC and ultimately get to the Super Bowl and ultimately win it. I think this team has everything. It's just a matter of whether or not they can protect the football and get out of their own way.
Yes. I mean, otherwise the weapons are there. And one of the other things about this offense, one of the other aspects of this offense that, again, I was impressed by. Before we get into it, I'm just going to share a clip from the episode that we recorded right after the Chargers game in week one. Okay, Brent, I'm going to share this clip from week one of the season.
I will ask you again, Brain. Is Butch Berry a magician?
He might be.
Is Butch Berry a magician? Because Liam Eichenberg, it's like the spirit of an actual NFL offensive lineman has come down from another planet and inhabited the body of Liam Eichenberg and is suddenly playing really good, really good football. Austin Jackson is an entirely different person this season. It's like this year we heard in the draft, when the Dolphins made that decision to draft Austin Jackson where they drafted him, it's like everybody's like, It's a project. It's a project with Austin Jackson, but he has these elite athletic traits, and he's going to be this, that, and the other thing, and blah, 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 blah. And for so long, it's like, where is it? Where is it? This guy looks like he's lost. It looks like he's indifferent. He doesn't want to be out there. And this season, suddenly he's a maniac out there. He's playing like a man possessed on the offensive line. And Liam Eichenberg, after losing his job, comes in as a backup and is now the left guard and is now going to be the starting left guard for your Miami Dolphins. And then you've got Keon Smith, who comes in because Teron Armstead injured his ankle and plays again at left tackle and again does a really good job. It's like we are seeing something with this offensive line that we haven't seen in a really long time. And it is... I saw Dan Orlovsky, I think it was, said that Tua is the MVP because he's doing what he's doing behind a bottom 10 offensive line. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know that we have all had our issues with the Miami Dolphins offensive line. Okay, that's nothing new, right? I think many of us are stunned and surprised at how well this team is performing, this offensive line unit is performing. But to say... bottom 10? Are you kidding me? This unit is, I'm not saying it's the best unit in football, but bottom 10, get out of here. It is a solid unit playing very well. I mean, Austin Jackson is playing at a Pro Bowl level right now. I mean, I would sit here and argue with you that Austin Jackson is playing at an all pro level right tackle. Like, he deserves to be in the conversation. He might not be the guy, but he deserves to be in the conversation. He's playing that well this year. So, I don't know. But, again, the point is here, this offensive line, my goodness, they're putting in and pieces are coming out. Guys are coming out. Guys are getting a little banged up. It sounds like Armstead and Hunt are not significantly injured. These injuries that they're dealing with may be best described as nagging, but man, Brain, this offensive line, respect to the magician, Butch Berry.
Respect to the magician and respect to the magician that edited that piece and put that together, because
that was me. Thank you.
Yeah, that was beautifully done. And we'll talk about whether Austin's going to get paid in a couple of months. We'll worry about that. That's a conversation that we'll worry about, because that's a conversation that can take an entire show.
Sure.
About guys that this team will need to keep and shed at each position group. But this offensive line is absolutely, at worst, an above average offensive line. I think obviously a lot of the success that this offensive line is having has to do point blank with Mike McDaniel and just this offense and the idea of, well, our offensive line isn't great, but we've got a ton of speed on the edge and we can get players down the field faster than any other team in the league. And we have a quarterback that's processing really quick and releases the ball really quick and does it accurately with anticipation. So we don't need these guys to block as long. And that means that it's going to open things up for the running game. But that said, this offensive line, I forget who tweeted it out there, but it was something like the 10th different offensive line, like makeup of five different guys on the offensive line that they played all season, and they're still giving up, I think, fewer sacks than anybody in the league. They're still running the ball at a very high level. This is certainly not a bottom 10 offensive line. And frankly, it's probably closer to a top 10 offensive line than it is a bottom 10 offensive line. In my opinion, it's definitely an above average offensive line. Robert Hunt, when he's played this season, has played at a Pro Bowl level. Austin Jackson has played at a Pro Bowl level. You can't have two guys playing at a Pro Bowl level on your offensive line and say it's a bottom 10 offensive line. It's just ridiculous. Connor Williams, when he's played, has played at darn near a Pro Bowl level. Scary snaps aside, dude's elite when he gets into space. Like, that's 60% of your offensive line. Teron Armstead, well, it'd be nice if we can see him out on the field for more than a game and a half, but we'll see. We'll see if he can stay out there when it matters. I think that between Armstead and Hunt, these guys were pulled out at the time that they were pulled out because it was just, we had this game in hand. The game was under control. We have confidence in the backups. Hey, speaking of backups, how about Keon Smith? This guy was unplayable, even in the preseason a couple of years ago. And this guy is getting out there and he's playing at a very solid level. Butch Berry is a magician. Point blank, period.
There it is.
Full stop. Butch Berry is a magician, but Mike McDaniel might be the biggest magician of all.
The stat that you were referring to was from Brett Bretcheson, who is the PR guy for the Miami Dolphins. He says the Dolphins have utilized 10 different offensive linemen and 7 different offensive line combinations this season. They have 12 fewer QB hits allowed than anyone in the league and are 3rd in fewest sacks allowed. So don't talk to me about a bottom 10 offensive line, Dan Orlovsky. And I like Dan Orlovsky. He's actually usually pretty fair and on the point. But this take was not great. So, Brain, I mean, listen, it's all good. There's not really anything bad to pick apart from this game. It was really, really good. There's the injury situation, which luckily sounds like it's not as bad as it could have been. So with the Dolphins, got a 30-point victory in their pocket, with every other AFC East team that played this week losing yet again. the rest of the AFC East scored a combined 8 points on Sunday. Of course, that was the Patriots getting shut out and losing 6-0, and the Jets losing, I think, 13-8. You know, anyway, it's a good time to be a Miami Dolphin fan. But with all that said, you know what time it is, Brain? It's time to check your pulse.
I mean, check your pulse if you're not fired up.
That's right, everybody. It is once again time for a Dolphins Talk Pulse Check. This is where we ask you to tell us how you are feeling about your Miami Dolphins using one word and one word only. So if you're watching live in the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, if you're watching after the fact in the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, let us know in the comments, what is one word to describe how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now? If you're watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, throw it in on the comments. We want to know, or tweet at us at Same Old Dolphins. Let us know, what is one word to describe how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now? Brain, how are you feeling?
So it might take me a little bit to get to the actual word here. So don't freak out don't jump the gun on like the first adjective that I use.
Oh, so you're going to do a whole big thing and then sum it up in a word.
I think so. I think that's.
Yeah, that's basically, that's how we do it. This is a podcast.
Yeah. So don't get me wrong. I feel really good. I feel really good about
the Dolphins.
But that's
not the word.
That's not the word though.
I just wanted to clarify.
Right. I feel really good about the Dolphins playing their best football in the first week of December. I can't remember the last time or if I've ever said that. I honestly don't think that I've ever said in the month of December, the Dolphins are playing their best football. Maybe in that 2003 season when they beat the Raiders and they were like the number one seed and then they lost the last two games of the season to miss out on the playoffs. Maybe I said it then, but I'm not even sure that I said it then. So it feels really good. But you know what we're not going to do, or what I'm not going to do? I got people saying, so Aaron, you going to drink the Kool-Aid now? I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid after we beat a 4-8 team.
Oh my.
When we have our toughest stretch of the schedule still looming a few weeks from now. I'm not going to blow this out of proportion. I feel really good about where the Dolphins are at. I like the trajectory of this team. I like, in general, the health of this team because look, you're going to get Javon Holland back. I don't think the offensive line injuries are major injuries. I think you're going to get those guys back. So in general, even the Jerome Baker injury is not the worst thing in the world. And if there's a place on this team that – if there's a position on this team that's maybe not as important as the other positions, it's the linebacker position. I think you can survive being without Jerome Baker for a couple weeks as long as your defensive line and secondary are playing at elite levels. That said, this team still needs to be in prove-it mode. The narrative has not changed. I don't care if the Broncos win a game, lose a game, if they have a winning record, a losing record. I don't care how many teams the Dolphins have beaten or not beaten that have a winning record or not. What I know is that when the Dolphins have played really good teams, definitively great teams, they have fallen short. And at some point, they're going to need to win those games. And I'm feeling better as this season goes on that they are going to get to that point. But until they do that, I'm not going to be bought into this idea that the Dolphins are the favorite or that I'm supremely confident that the Dolphins are going to figure it out. Because at the end of the day, this is still the same franchise that has done nothing but prove otherwise throughout my entire lifetime. But I feel pretty good, and I'm definitely gaining in confidence, and they're getting close. So where I'm at right now, I feel centered. I feel it's very clear what this team needs to do. It's very clear the pathway to get there, and things are aligning for this to be their year. They just need to keep going. Not there yet. So I'm just staying centered. My focus is on Monday Night Football against the Tennessee Titans. And that's where I hope this team's focus is. Because you know what I'm starting to see? Tua on Monday Night Football on the Manning cast. Jalen Ramsey on the Pat McAfee show. You know, a 30-point win. Everybody patting us on the back. You remember the last time everybody was patting this team on the back, don't you? Oh, Hard Knocks? We're getting a lot of attention right now. The last time this team was given this kind of attention, they were coming off of a 70-20 victory over the Denver Broncos and then got embarrassed the following week. Stay humble, stay centered, take care of business.
All right. I hear you. That's very on brand for you. Very on brand. So let's hear what some of the people have to say. There's a lot of them out there. The one I want to start with, well, let me give you some of these other ones, and then there's one in particular that I want to highlight. Dolphins Talk is dazzled. Patrick Mullen is waiting. Marissa Marino says supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. She thought I wouldn't say it, but I said it. Ian Carter is pumped. DJ is exuberant. Doug GT500 is cautious. Starboy, not satisfied. He hyphenated it, so it counts as one word. Rich Miller, enjoyment. Lee McManus is excited. M. Schuller is feeling swaggy. Wes is feeling peaceful. Nandito, fantastic. Jorge GM is hopeful. Scott is invested. Eric Powell, steady. Dahl is energized. Pooch is Vibranium, which is an Avengers reference. David Nastall is optimistic. Robert Oley, refreshed. Adrian is excited. William V, anticipatory. Skeeter Donovan is stoked. David Jappy is invigorated. Keith Hummel, Kool-Aid, hyphenated, one word. Candlem says committed. Sean Green, it's not one word, so I'm not going to read it. Try again next week, Sean. Peanut says elated. Tua Dimes is erect, which I can only translate to mean that they're sitting up watching this action at the edge of their seat. Lee Edge is satisfied. James is fun. Brandon Buttry is AV Jesus. Love it. Jacqueline Angle is impressed. Part is adrenalized. Robert Rosario invigorating. Andy Street, fantastic. James is fuzzy. John D, apprehension. I get it. Christopher Cobb, scrum diddly umptious. Chris Buston, stoked. Jackie Reynolds, fantastic. Count Tagovailoa, enthused. And there were quite a few more. Actually, I could go on for a long time. Let me get some of the live viewers who are watching here, and I can share you some of theirs. Jan Hunan is extravagant. Cap for Life is content. Ray Finkel, impressed. George Byard is confident. Villain is content. Hector, I like this one. Saucy. Let's see. Jason Theodoritis is tickled. J.M. Santos is intrigued. Daryl Woodard is hopeful. Marianne Alievich is unbelievable. Alex R. says playoffs. Danny Montez is pumped. Newfoundland is optimistic. David Meadows says consistency. Cap for Life is entertained. Chipu says good. Villain, explosive. Benjamin, supernatural. And Marianne, dreammaker. Some excellent, excellent answers here. I want to highlight one answer that we got on Twitter. Comes from Rhetoric. And their word is chirosclerosis. Are you familiar with this word, Brent?
No. Enlighten.
Chirosclerosis.
So, I mean, chiro has to do with what? The spine?
Well, or it's bones? Not spelled like chiro, like chiropractic. It's K-A-I-R-O sclerosis. Okay, I might be pronouncing it incorrectly.
Well, I'm lost then.
But they provided a definition for us. And what they said was chirosclerosis, noun. The moment you realize that you're currently happy, consciously trying to savor the feeling, which prompts your intellect to identify it, pick it apart, and put it into context, where it will slowly dissolve until it's little more than an aftertaste. Chirosclerosis, which is a pretty good word.
It's good.
But it's a perfect word to describe how I'm to transition into my word, because Brent, I think you and I, as Dolphin fans, particularly in the years since we started this podcast, have sort of approached things from a place of self-preservation as fans. We've purposely tried to keep this team, you know, at arm's length because we've been hurt by this team so many times. So many times they've taken our hearts and smashed it up and thrown it on the floor and stepped on it and peed on it and thrown up on it and done a couple other bodily functions as well. And it's happened to us pretty routinely for a long time. And so we've kind of existed in that place of self-preservation to protect ourselves. And as I've been thinking about this season and I've been watching these games and I've been just, I find myself getting so caught up in, for lack of a better word, the brilliance of this team at times. And I started thinking about, well, you know, what this team is going to go. And at this point, they're not 100% to win the division, but it's a very good chance that they're going to win this division, right? At this point in time, the Dolphins' magic number is 3, right? Any combination of Dolphins wins and Bills losses that equals the number 3 and the Dolphins win the AFC East. At this point, it's not a given, but it's a pretty good shot at this point that the Dolphins are going to win the AFC East. And that's amazing already, right? And so, and, you know, and then I was thinking like, well, how am I going to feel if the Dolphins, like they have this one, they're having this amazing season. I was really in my head today as I had taken today off of work and I was running around running some errands and I was just in my head like, how am I going to feel if this team goes and they go into the postseason and they, you know, they're feeling good. They're division champions and they, you know, after this dominant regular season and they lose that first game in the playoffs. I'm going to be devastated. I would be devastated. Even knowing what I know about this team and what they've done and how I try to keep this team at arm's length. And when I started thinking about how I would feel in that moment, and this is comes back to this chirosclerosis because I'm cognizant of how I'm feeling in the moment and I'm analyzing it and thinking about it. And what I realized was, yeah, I don't know that there's a way that this season ends that doesn't break my heart, short of the Dolphins winning the Super Bowl. And so what that led me to believe is that, Brain, I am currently open. I stand here in the words of the great American rock band Creed. I stand here with arms wide open, and I say to the Miami Dolphins, I am ready to be hurt again. I am open to whatever the future holds. That doesn't mean that intellectually I'm not thinking about things the same way that I always am, but emotionally, I'm ready for whatever this team is going to throw at me. If it's going to, whether that's winning the final five games of this season and somehow finishing the season 14-3, unlikely, but wouldn't that be amazing? Whether it's finding a way to lose the final five games of the season and finishing the season 9-8. I'm ready for that. I am sitting here and I am completely open because I've decided I'm making the decision, as intellectual as I can be sometimes about the Miami Dolphins and my fandom of the Miami Dolphins, I am going to sit here and I'm going to savor every last second of what this season has to offer, whatever that is, because it has been an unbelievable ride so far. And I don't want to waste a moment. I don't want to miss a moment of experiencing what this Dolphins team is doing, because I'm afraid that, you know, they haven't done it against the best teams in the league yet, so I don't want to believe in it. I don't want to drink the Kool-Aid. Fine. But I'm ready for whatever. Bring it, Miami Dolphins. I'm open. I am ready to be hurt again. So that's it. That's how I feel. I'm ready to be hurt again. I'm also ready for the Dolphins to, you know, decide not to hurt me and, you know, go win the Super Bowl. I'm ready for that. I honestly don't even know how I would handle it if we were to make it that far. I don't even know how I would deal. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So, Brain, let's close this episode of the show here by talking a little bit about Tua Tagovailoa on the Manning cast, because he was on there, right? And my initial reaction to Tua on the Manning cast was, man, media train Tua is boring. Boring.
Bad.
I mean, there were some little things in there, but, like, you know, and you saw Eli in particular was working hard to try to get something out of Tua, you know, but he was just kind of boring. Like, it was just like, you know, Eli's like, so Tua, you know, college football playoff, you know, let's have you talk about the thing that you said during the commercial break where you said that FSU should have got in over Alabama. And then Tua was just like trying to do his best to behave himself. And awkwardly kind of laugh off that joke. Didn't work out. It was just kind of boring. You know, he had a couple of things that were interesting that he said. You know, he talked about he's never overthrown Tyreek Hill. He doesn't have that Patrick Mahomes arm. Every time he throws the ball to Tyreek, he's giving it everything he got just so that he could hit him in stride. You know, he says, you know, he talks about the joke of, yeah, I'll just throw it. Screw it. Tyreek's down there somewhere. And Tyreek says, yes, just throw it to me. I'll be open. And, you know, most of the time he is, you know, he said that. He had a funny line where he said the similarities between Mike McDaniel and Nick Saban are that they're both head coaches. Yeah. That was a pretty funny line from Tua. And I think he probably didn't want to throw anybody under the bus there, but that was funny. But then he did sort of shout out Mike McDaniel. And I think this was a kind of heartfelt moment where he sort of thanked him for helping him find a resurgence in his career. And he wanted to thank, you know, and for trusting him and what he does well and mixing it in with what McDaniel does well. And, you know, and then thanking McDaniel and the organization for having faith in him and trust in him. That was really great. I liked his little Tropic Thunder reference. survive. I thought that was a pretty good moment. But the highlight, Bryn, the highlight had to be, you know, Tua sitting there in this backdrop with the guitars behind him, right? And, you know, Peyton and Eli are like, are those just for show or can we get you to actually play a little bit? And I was thinking there's no way that Tua is going to play guitar on TV. But then Tua goes and grabs a guitar and then he plays a little bit of the Sweet Home Alabama lick, right? Which was terrific. And then, and then of course, Peyton had the funny line about, I like that. I think that's great. I don't think the FSU fans are going to like that very much, but I think it's great. But then Eli's like, can you play us a song? Play us a song. And Tua then goes, okay, how about Tears in Heaven, Eric Clapton? For those of you who are not musically inclined, Eric Clapton is one of the best guitar players in the history of rock and roll. Tears in Heaven, not an easy song to play. And Tua Tagovailoa on national TV, on the internet anyway. No, it's on ESPN too. He sits down, he plays Tears in Heaven on the guitar. And Peyton and Eli are improvising lyrics about the game to the tune, to the melody of the song. Bryn, Tua was a little uptight. He was a little media trained. He was a little trying to stay within himself. But eventually he broke out and it was pretty entertaining. What was your thoughts on his segment?
Yeah, I think that the best part about it was how good Eli and Peyton were to get that out of him. They had to fight to get something good out of him and they got it. And that clip, honestly, like, that's as good as it gets. That's as good as you're going to get on a podcast, on a show like that. Tua playing guitar and them singing along, like, that'll probably go in the annals as one of the highlights of the Manning cast. That was
in
great.
The
what? In the annals.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to double check that was what you said.
Yeah. Don't get too erect over there. Yeah. But
This is a family show, please.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying,
relax. It's not Jets week. It's a family show.
I'm saying relax. You're standing up very straight. You're sitting up very straight.
I'm on the edge of my seat, Bryn. Yeah.
But no, I thought they did a great job of pulling it out of him. And it shows you, like, it's cool to see that side of Tua. And frankly, I don't know that I need to see like the big personality of Tua, because I feel like I'm seeing that on Hard Knocks anyway. You're seeing the more like candid Tua personality.
Tua with one earbud listening to Christmas music.
Yeah.
None of the guys in the QB room want to listen to Christmas music.
Yeah. And so you're getting that. So I don't know what I was expecting. It was very boring and very dry and Tua really didn't want to give much. And so it was very awkward at times, but that was a highlight that was worth waiting for.
Absolutely.
So it was cool. I enjoyed it. I don't know that I need to see it again. I would say that's as good as you're going to get. Maybe if he's been in the league for like 5 more years and he's really established himself as like, top tier quarterback for a long time and you're talking about like future Hall of Famer Tua, you'll get like a little bit more relaxed Tua, confident Tua that is willing to open up.
You know when you'll get that Tua? You'll get that Tua as soon as he gets his next contract signed, sealed, and delivered. Once he gets the big money contract, then he can relax. Then he can kick back.
Well, if he stays healthy, that's going to happen in a few months.
Yeah, we're not far away from it. I can tell you that.
Because he's not going to play next year on the fifth-year option.
Well, and his contract and how they structure that contract is going to be instrumental in making sure that they can secure some of the other guys on that roster and keep them there for the long term. That's all going to be part of it. So, all right, Bryn, that's going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. I think maybe we got some Easter eggs to come, but again, thank you everybody for listening. Make sure you're following us at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. If you need a blue sky code, hit me up. I'll get you over there. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, Subscribe to the Same Old Dolphins show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere that you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a positive review. We appreciate it very much. And yeah, Brian, any parting words for the people before we get out of here?
No, I think it's good to, there's value in savoring where we're at and being excited. I saw your rant with Mike. You cut your little promo, and you know, we're not going to tell you how to fan. Fan how you want to fan. If you want to be excited, be excited. I'm excited. I know that it might not seem like it to people that are like bouncing off the wall and they want to hear Aaron say, like, this team is going to do it. I believe wholeheartedly in this team. Well, just because I don't believe right this second, 12 games into the year, that this team is the best team in football does not mean that I'm not very excited about the potential that this season could be. This team has shown me to this point more potential than any team that I have watched since probably that 93-94 team. The 95 team or whatever team it was, the Stojanovic kick, or the Dolphins team the year prior when Marino, went out with the Achilles injury. Save for that era of Dolphins, like the AFC Championship 1 year, starting like 8-1 or whatever it was, and then Marino gets hurt, and then Marino coming back and getting to the second round of the playoffs and being a field goal away from being in the AFC Championship game. This Dolphins team has shown me more potential than any team that I can remember in my lifetime. So I'm enjoying it and I'm excited. But I'm also, with that excitement, the bar gets raised. And so you start looking at it a little bit, with a little bit more discernment, and you say, all right, well, how good can this team be? Can this team actually get the job done? Can this team not just win the division? Can this team be the number one seed? Can this team win the AFC? When this team gets to the Super Bowl, can this team win the Super Bowl? Can this team possibly do it? And so my mind cannot help but go to, all right, well, what are the things? What are the variables? What are the issues that need to be cleaned up and fixed to get us there? And this team has fewer of those than any team that I can remember watching, any Dolphins team that I can remember watching. And that is very exciting. But it just makes me focus on those things a little bit more. I can't help it. I'm not built like most fans, but that's how I fan. And so that's where I'm at. So don't mistake it as I'm not a fan and I'm not excited, because I'm very excited about what this team could do. But I'm not there yet to where I'm ready to just buy in and be like, I believe, and I'm ready to have my soul crushed by this team. I'm not ready yet. But we're getting
understood.
There.
Understood. You're getting there. Well, there's still 5 more games left, so a little ways to go. But maybe we'll have you there. We'll have you there soon enough. But that's going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. We'll be back later this week to preview the Dolphins Monday night game against the Tennessee Titans. We've got to figure out what our schedule is going to be like, because typically we do the show live on Monday nights, but we're not going to do the show during the game. We could do the watch along thing, but I like being in the same room when we do the watch along. It's a little bit better, a little easier. But I don't know. We're going to figure out our broadcast plans for next week. We'll get back to you, but we will be with you on Thursday to preview the Monday night game. So we'll be back with you then. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
I'm begging pretty please. Don't be the same old Dolphins.